Welcome to the podcast. I am Photographer Sid Caesar.
And I'm Designer Dave Say.
And welcome on today's Thursday, January 25th, 2018. Although you might be listening to this at a later date.
Yeah.
This is our third podcast of the day. We're just cramming it. We're totally cramming it.
And I also just don't want to set everything up again. So we'll buy ourselves some time. But if we get guests on, we can do, we'll push these out.
Yeah.
And get someone on there.
Yes.
And there's a few people we have in mind get on this thing.
So, and we feel guilty for not doing any. I think we did one last year.
So. I don't feel guilty at all.
No?
Yeah, I don't feel guilty.
I like doing these. And I feel bad when we don't do them.
Yeah.
You know, I like to use it because it keeps us connected.
Yeah.
You know, like I like being around you and I like hanging around with you and I like your personality and I think we gel really well.
Yeah, yeah.
So when we don't do these, I feel bad because it's like, crap, I haven't seen Dave in a long time. Like, I use this as the impetus to get together with you, you know? So we'll put that
the feeling is mutual. So I'm glad that we're doing this today. Hopefully we'll be able to do this more frequently. So maybe it'll hook you with the live streaming. You know what we can do? We can actually simulcast this on Twitch at the same time. So we can, you know, we could do a Let's Play or something like that.
I still do not. This is the old man in me. I still do not understand. I don't understand how people are making a living off of that. Some of it I do. Some of it, and it's totally sexist because there are certain people out there that are girl gamers that do Twitch and they wear the things that push up their thing and they're raking in the money. Like, I watch them and they're playing games. You know, like, there's this dude that I was watching, he's playing PUBG. He's playing playing under, and as he's playing, there's a little thing in the bottom corner and it shows you how much money people are donating, and he's making all kinds of money just. But that's just the old man in me being like, I don't understand this. Like, how are you making a living? I don't know.
No, so that's it's the cool. Old man keeping you down.
Exactly. It's cool because it's like,
there's new ways of making money.
If only Twitch had existed when I played the NES back in 1988.
It's an interesting way of reaching out to people. So people who don't know what we're talking about online game streaming.
Right.
There's a service called Twitch in which you can watch other people playing games. Although they've expanded the kinds of programming they allow people to do to people who are drawing stuff, creative stuff.
Everything.
They have a new In Real Life channel, which I've actually put my Twitch stream on it. I think it's kind of a way of hanging out.
Yep.
And then if you're hanging out and you appreciate, like, you know, just providing the way, it says, you know what, there's someone out there who is like putting all the stuff out there for someone like me.
Yeah.
I want to throw them a dollar.
Yeah.
And then there's a few people who want to, like, they want the attention and they'll pay more money and things like that.
Right.
You know, so it's interesting to watch, like, the popular streamers and how they handle that balance of, like, I don't feel beholden to you.
Right.
But I'm still appreciative of it. I think for people like you and me, like, I tend not to think of those kind of interactions as being very meaningful.
It's weird. But, like, I get the, like, I've watched people play games that I'm, like, if I'm interested in the game, I'll watch them just to see what the game is like.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But it's weird because it's like, this is the same kind of stuff we did when I was younger, and I would sit there and Ryan would be playing a game, and I'd just be like, just go to the left. And so you're doing that, but you're watching it, and you're like, But yeah, I can, that part I can totally. It's funny because there was a recent thing going on that went viral, and there was a girl who I guess is a big Twitch person or whatever.
Yeah.
And she contacted this hotel in Ireland, and she was like, this is who I am, and I have billions of followers, and I'm going to be in Ireland for 3 days, so I was wondering if you would give me a free room so that I can talk about it on Twitch and everything. And it's been this Irish, the response from the hotel has been totally hilarious because they're like, you know what? No. And not only are we going to ask you never to come to our hotel, anybody that live streams or blogs, you're banned from our hotel because she was like, you know, well, I'm important. And so you should let me stay here for free. And they were like, who pays the person that's going to take care of your linens, washing your linens. Mm-hmm. And so it's kind of fascinating, but totally sidetracked that.
So it reminds me of the early days of blogging.
Yeah.
You know, and like, you know, I guess you had the same thing with Instagram people were, this goes back to the old adage of like just how important eyeballs are in this economy. If people don't know about you, then they don't find you. And so like a lot of people who are in the position of just trying to do things like, they have the eyeballs, they have some leverage. There is some legitimate power to it, but you don't have to be an ass about it.
Right. There's a level of like being a self-absorbed person.
Yeah.
And it's like that, you know, like, we used to have a weekly Halo thing online on Wednesday nights. And I had a friend of mine that used to do it, but he got into this Twitch streaming. And so he would Twitch stream while he was playing with us.
Yeah.
And it was so irritating because he was constantly talking. Yeah, and it was just like, who are you? Yeah. And he was like, hey, thanks for the pledge. Thanks for the pledge. Right, hey, right, how you doing? Thanks for the pledge. So finally I was just like, I can't play with that because you're so distracting. Yeah, like you're not in the moment. You're you're catering to all these people that are watching. It was just weird.
Yeah, I can see that being annoying. Right.
But it's kind of, it is, I guess it is kind of cool if, you know, like there's a game coming out and I want to see what it looks like or something, but I don't want to actually pay the $50 for the game. So you can just watch it. And some people, like, that's what they do. Like, they'll watch somebody play through the whole game and then they're like, all right, that was it. That was the game. You know, that's my game, my experience.
I did that with that, that, what was that, No Man's Sky game?
Oh, did you?
I was curious to see, like, you, because it was so hyped. That was that game where
I bought that
when it came out. Oh, you suck.
When it first came out.
I'm so sorry. So I just wanted to see how it was. I looked at it and says, yep, it's exactly how I imagined it. Procedural generated planets that are boring as crap. And nothing has meaning because it's all algorithmically generated with no story or intent or anything.
Yeah, I got rid of that very, very quickly. I was like, this is the whole thing.
Yeah, unlike toys, which reward you forever.
Toys!
And so that's what we're going to talk about today, other than cultural
There's a big thing. What is that? There's a big thing. Can we get rid of that big thing?
The thing that's actually recording the podcast?
There we go. Just so I can see what's going on.
All right. Okay. Yeah. Right.
Yeah.
So let me switch to the other camera.
We were going to talk about toys because we've been, I've always collected toys. I'm a big toy jerk. And so I'm always buying them and taking pictures of them and stuff. And I was in one of the other podcasts we just done, I was talking about earlier in 2017, I had been buying a bunch of these toys based on the Alien movie.
Yeah.
And I was doing these whole little sets and I'll like try to link to the images I was taking.
So the first one is
the Alien thing. So this is here's our little tabletop camera. So this is one that just came in, and this is based off the character of Lambert from the 1978 movie Alien. Let's see if I can. This one in particular is awesome because if you're familiar with the movie, in the movie Lambert was just basically a big crybaby. She was constantly whining about everything.
Yeah,
and so they came out with a special interchangeable head. See if I can zoom in on that. Where she's like all worried. Like she's got this like frowny face on her. Like she's all upset and worried. And she's like, oh, something's going
to
happen.
So let me look at it too. So I had to describe for the podcast listeners.
Oh,
I can't see anything.
So this particular. Lambert? So Lambert's one of the cast of the Nostromo. Uh-huh. And the Nostromo in the original Alien movie is the big mining frigate that the movie opens on. And this is the people where the alien gets on this thing.
The first Alien.
Yeah, the very first Alien, 1970. So, and I in particular, I like this series of these figures because they're in their, they call them compression suits, but it's like the spacesuits that they wear when they walk out and they find the derelict alien ship.
Yeah.
And then the egg gets stuck to the guy's face and everything. And I like them so much because I'm a big fan of the old heavy metal magazine from the 80s, the science fiction magazine.
Right.
And the compression suits were heavily influenced by a European artist by the name of Mobius. And so the fact that they made an action figure based on these character designs, these figure designs. And I love it because it's like it's all big and bulky and like the helmets are these big round eggs and all the – it's just – I don't know. I love that design.
Yeah.
So they've been doing a whole – and basically it's the same body, just a different color suit with a different head, you know, like
right. –
But I just love
the interchangeable heads are cool.
Yeah, and I love how in the head she's all like, oh, upset. Because in the whole movie, she's constantly crying. And you know? She's like, something's stuck to him and let us inside. And,
in space, no one can hear you scream. In a remote region of the galaxy, the United States space tug Nostromo, carrying a cargo of mineral ore, makes its return journey to Earth. The ship's crew, 5 men, 2 women, and a cat, are awakened from their hypersleep chambers when Mother, the onboard computer, monitors a strange transmission according to company law. No, according to company law, the crew must investigate any signal indicating possible intelligent life. What begins as a routine search mission quickly escalates into a nightmare of unimaginable terror.
Look at that. This is like the whole
when the crew discovers and brings aboard an extraterrestrial life form. Also available... weird-headed alien.
It's alien and blue alien.
Blue alien. I don't remember blue alien.
And And we also just watched, so a documentary came out. We just watched it recently. It's based on the movie Dune.
Yeah.
But it was the director that originally wanted to make a Dune movie in 1975.
Mm-hmm.
And I can't pronounce his name correctly, but it's Jordowski's. His last name is Jordowski's. And the name of the documentary was Jordowski's Dune. And he's talking about how he had this, and they go through this whole thing, and it's incredible the amount of stuff that he wanted to do for this Dune movie. And it was going to be visually, it was going to be like nothing you'd ever seen before. Huh. And it was going to be like each character's family, like there's the Atreides family, and then there's the Baron Harkonnen family. Mm-hmm. Each family was going to have a separate group of musicians to make music just for them.
Wow.
And it was like Pink Floyd was on board.
What?
And then this other thing. And then what was really interesting was Dan O'Bannon, who's the guy that basically wrote the screenplay for he came up with the first Alien film.
Uh-huh.
He had been brought over to do all the special effects. And he had done the special effects for a short film called Dark Star, which was John Carpenter's first movie.
Yeah.
And Dan O'Bannon had gone to school with him. So Dan O'Bannon had gone over to do all the special effects for this Dune.
Yeah.
And he had hired this Mobius guy to do all the character designs.
Really?
And he also hired H.R. Giger to do all the Harkonnen-related structures. So eventually what happened was the movie completely fell apart because this guy had such grand ideas. They were oh my God. But what was really interesting was that Dan O'Bannon, who came back and wrote the script for Alien, and Ridley Scott, who directed the first Alien movie, at the very same time this was going on, he had seen Mobius's design, and he was like, I want heavy Mobius influence in my movie. And Giger went on to make the xenomorph that was in the first Alien movie that everybody knows. Huh. So it was interesting to watch how, like, because of that failed project, Alien, like, came about, you know. Mm-hmm. Like, it was kind of neat. So it was but I just like the, I just think they're, I like spacesuits anyways. I just think spacesuits are awesome.
Mm-hmm.
And I like big bulbous, I like toys that have removable hats or helmets.
Uh-huh.
That's a big passion of mine.
Mm.
So they have big stupid removable helmets, and
that's great.
I don't know, I think it's kind of cool.
Yeah.
So she's the last one. This is the newest one of the spacesuits. So I have all the spacesuits.
Is this a recent issue?
Yeah, this is brand new. This one just came out like 4 months ago.
Oh, okay.
I was just waiting for it to drop in price a little bit.
Right.
And so she's going to go up on the wall.
Uh-huh.
At the studio. Sweet. With the rest of them.
Are you just going to leave them in the blister pack?
No, I open them up. I just, like, I cut a little incision here so that I can just slide the tray out.
Nice,
but then I can still hang them up because they're still...
That's a good idea, yeah. Yeah. I'm not sure what to do with all these boxes for toys. Like, I don't want to throw them out, but, you know, like, they just take up so much room.
Just get a shelf or something. Or what I do is, for the ones that don't have tabs, I just buy the little adhesive hanger tabs.
Oh, that's a good
idea. And then I just put them on the boxes, and then I can hang the boxes on the wall.
That's genius.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, yeah.
I've been doing this for a while, trust me.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm relatively new to this. I've only started getting figures.
So what got you into, like, getting figures? Because you've never had a lot of them around the house.
No. So what was it? The first one let me look. Let's try and see the shelf.
And you've been getting primarily ones that are based on Yamato?
No, it's been a variety of things. There's been three. The first one was...
Our camera fell down.
Yeah. So one of the first things that I got was... you want the other camera?
Yeah.
You want this one?
Just so we can see over.
Yeah. So, let me go over and get
some stuff.
So I can still talk on this too, which is cool. So one of the things that I liked a lot was the Ghost in the Shell. Not the Mamoru Oshii movie, but the original manga.
Okay.
And I've always wanted one of the spider tank things, the Fujikomas, or Tachikomas, depending on which... series, because they're named something different in each iteration. In the manga, they're called something, but then for copyright purposes, it was called something else in the movie, and then the series, it was called something else. So there's like at least three different names for these things. So these spider tanks here, and I said the idea of spending $50 on one of these things didn't appeal to me. But one day I said, you know, I should at least have one spider tank.
Yeah.
You know?
Oh, and they're all... Okay, that's great.
Yeah, so like this is one of the less expensive ones. They have like $300 or $400 ones, but you know, they made die cast, but this one has like joint issues. But
yeah. How long have you had it?
Maybe a year or two.
Yeah.
Not that long. So I got this.
That's great.
And then after that, there was the, there's been a bunch of different Ghost in the Shell iterations, right? So there's the movie one, which the major Motoko is, I didn't like the character design in it. I don't like the Mamoru Oshii version of the Major. Then there's the TV series, the standalone complex, and then Ghost in the Shell first standalone complex, and then second gig, and that was okay. That was like more of the manga style one, yep. But I didn't find a figure there. And then Arise came out, which was a reboot of the telling of the story from the same studio that did the TV series, which I really liked. But it's like it had a different character design. So, and this is the Motoko from that, when she's like just getting started and putting together her squad. And I was looking at this and said, that's a nice sculpt. And like, unlike a lot of them, it's none of that fan service stuff happening on there. I mean, she still has, you know, kind of like the elongated leg stuff, but she looks like she's ready to take on challenges. And so like, I liked like that sculpt a lot. So I had these two of them, and then I started watching, what was it? Oh, there's an anime called, I'm blanking on this. Not Log Horizon, the other one. Sword Art Online.
Okay.
Which is an MMORPG-ish. It's the premise of the show is that there's all these people playing this VR MMORPG. And so they're in, you know, and they get stuck in it. There's someone sabotages it and no one can log out.
Yep.
If they try to force log out, then they die. That's the basic idea. There's something, you know, they explain it, you know, but, so I was watching it again and, I was watching the second one cause it's on Netflix. I just recently resubbed to Netflix last year. And so I remember Sword Art Online being lame, but, I saw one of my cousins, they have two of their daughters, they cosplay.
Yep.
And, he made, one of them a photon sword from Sword Art Online 2. And I was throwing, I don't remember what the photon sword was, so I rewatched it. So this is better than I remember it. And then I didn't buy any figures, but then years later, a year after that, I
was jumping your cord.
Oh, right. This is why I need the wireless headset. But then like a year later, I decided that watching it again, I said, you know, I like this character design, so I wanted to have it. So this was the first real figure I bought. The one after that, which is the Kirito figure.
This is a Figma?
This is a Figma. And Figma is a particular line from Good Smile, right?
Yeah. And these are highly articulate, too. There's like 38,000 points of articulation, so you can move.
And they come with different heads and different
interchangeable
hair
faces
and stuff like this.
And
so this is the androgynous version of the character, because in the first one, Kirito's a dude, but then you can do something like a character transfer from one game to another game.
Yeah.
So in the first one, they're all playing this fantasy game.
Yep.
And his skills in the fantasy game were like a very high sword agility.
Mm-hmm.
So it was one of the best swordsmen in the game. And so then, in the second one, he is invited to by some government agency to investigate mysterious deaths that are happening in this other one. But it's an online shooter.
Oh.
So he does a character transfer, and so all your stats, you know, transfer over. But like the way that they're portrayed are different. And then apparently he gets routed into like a rare body.
Okay.
And so like someone tries to buy it off of him immediately as soon as they go into it. And so that's why he looks different. Like in this. And so that's cool. I like the design.
Yeah, I like the little holster that holds a gun on their belt.
Yeah. And so I actually did get, because like one of the other characters in that one is the person who befriends him and shows him how it works, how the game works.
Oh.
And so this is like this is the Shinon character, who's the sniper, which I haven't taken out of the box yet.
Giant sniper rifle.
Yeah, giant sniper rifles. I'm partial to giant sniper rifles in games.
Guns.
So
back of the package, you can see the examples.
Yeah.
That's pretty cool.
So these were in the first 12 episodes, or the first 6 episodes of the second Sword Art Online.
Huh.
That's their arc, and then it changes. You know how these anime series, the first half seems to be different than the second half.
Yeah.
And so, like, these will look good together on the shelf that I've set up for that.
Yeah, there's, like, two heads and two extra faces.
Yeah. And, you know, try to figure out a way of, like, putting those together. And then, like, I got... I was watching Little Witch Academia. You remember they had that Kickstarter a few years ago?
No.
So this was a, who was this? Was this Trigger? There's a studio that had made these this short animes about like this yes, you know, kind of a Harry Potterish situation. There's a, huh. there's this like a non-magical girl who wants to learn magic because she saw when she was a little kid this performer named a Shiny Chariot do this cool magic show. And she's like, I want to learn magic and stuff like that. And so she gets in, but she's really terrible at it.
Oh.
And but so her but her attitude is I find the character endearing, you know. And so this is a cute anime.
Oh,
and
this
so,
is a Nendroid.
Yeah,
these things have become really popular over the last couple of years.
Yeah.
So they're like little tiny, super deformed, caricatures of the actual characters.
So I got that one. Apparently, this one's hard to get. I didn't realize it. I pre-ordered and forgot about it. And then 6 months later, like it came out. And, you know, it's like I was talking to one of my sister's friends who was like really into this stuff. And I had I mentioned on Twitter that I got this. And she was like, oh, yeah, I had to go get this for like for my kid. And then she was like, I fucked up. It's like, you can't get it. I missed the pre-order. And so she's getting all the other ones.
Huh.
But this is the one character I liked at it. So, and I thought I would get that. And then the other ones were, I started the other series I like. So it's basically I'm buying from series that I like.
Mm-hmm.
And with this particular one, like, you know, I just happened to like that character art and these two character designs.
Yeah.
But the anime that really has made an impression on me is the Battleship Yamato, Space Battleship Yamato 2199, which I think we've talked about before.
Yeah. So this is, so I grew up with it being called, there was an American version in the early 80s called Star Blazers.
Yep.
Which was the Americanized version of Space Cruiser Yamato.
Yep.
And then they redid it. Like there's a lot of relaunches that have been going on. So it's the same premise. Like it takes place. It's a recreation of it's like a reboot. It's the first season, which is the quest for Iskandar stuff.
Yep.
So it's the same content, but the story is more fleshed out and but I haven't seen it yet because I'm one of these idiots that wants to see the dub, the American dub, rather than the subtitled one.
Yeah, once you explained it to me, it made sense. Like it is, you had to watch it twice if you're watching it.
I've been watching. Like I think a lot of it stems from when I first got it. Like when I was growing up, there was the Getter Robo series. Like there was the Force 5 series, which took five different robot series. There was Star Avengers, which was the Getter Robo series, and then there was Transor Z, and then there was Grendizer and Guy King and Dangard Ace, and then they would Americanize them, and then Monday through Friday, like every Monday it was Guy King, every Tuesday it was Dangard Ace. So I grew up with that and Star Blazers, and that was like there was an hour block that I would watch every morning, and that was, oh my gosh, I love that. But then I kind of fell out of it because I didn't quite know what else there was, and I went to a comic book convention in 1987 or 1988, and somebody was selling bootleg copies of the American dub for Akira before Streamline had released them out in the United States. So I kind of got back into that, and I'm like, oh, this is pretty cool, and I had never seen anything with that kind of level of violence before. And what happened was Suncoast had started carrying two rows of anime, but it was all what they would call OAVs because they didn't want to take a chance on series, so they were sticking to like 45-minute and then at the same time my local comic book store was buying Japanese laser discs of anime and making VHS copies, but those had no subtitles at all, so that just straight Japanese language. And I think that was kind of why I was like I had burned out on watching stuff where I was like I don't understand what they're saying. I'm kind of only getting the gist of it. So then I stopped buying for a long time, and then I didn't really get back into anime until somebody introduced me to Cowboy Bebop and they were doing the American dub, and the dub was so good that I was like, and I just, I can't watch really nice animation while I'm staring at the bottom of the screen trying to read the translations. Like I just, and then I'm like, okay, let's go back and rewatch what we, so dubs just work for me because it's, I'm just lazy and I don't want to have to try to.
The dub quality has risen a lot. It used to be like really bad.
Right.
You know,
it's, there's then, still a lot of bad.
I'd say that most dubs are like, you know, not that. They don't move me that much. The last one I saw was they did that Fathom Events thing for the that new Studio Ponoc movie that came out.
Oh.
So like Studio Ghibli had stopped production like in 2014.
Yep.
And a bunch of the animators and directors from there went and started a new company, started doing new movies.
Oh.
So they did it on the 18th, I think we went. So
oh, really?
Interestingly, that era that you're talking about of getting laser discs and like not knowing what they were saying, my friend John Smith, who when I was an undergrad at WPI.
Yep.
He actually lives in Bedford, and I didn't know that.
Oh, really?
So we've been like sort of neighbors for the past, you know, 18 years.
Yeah.
And so we just recently reconnected through Facebook, and so I guess like now there's someone to go see anime with.
Yeah, nice.
With he's got a family, but his kids are too young to see everything.
Yeah.
You know, so we went and saw this witch, what was it called? The Witch's Flower or something like that. Yeah, you'll see it if you look on Studio Ponoc, something in the Witch's Flower, Mary Stewart and the Witch's Flower. So it's beautifully animated. The key animator on that I think worked on Howl's Moving Castle and Spirited Away. Director, I think the last thing that was something Marnie.
Marnie was here.
Yeah, I didn't see that.
No,
and then something else before that. So yeah. So that's. Yeah, I remember those periods. The dub was pretty good. That's what I was going to say. That's where I was going with that. But he's also a subtitle purist.
Oh, really?
So like the reason we went to sell the dubbed one is because he brought his young daughter with him.
Yeah.
And so she liked watching it. But it was a good dub. I was reminded.
Yeah.
There's another series I will watch only dubbed, just because when we first saw it, we only saw the dub. There was no subtitle version available. We got used to the character. That was Giant Robo.
Oh.
Have you ever seen Giant Robo? Giant Robo's amazing. Oh my god. So good.
Tetsun?
It's got the giant robot, that big pharaoh Egyptian thing.
Yeah.
And I think they called him Johnny something back
when. Oh, Johnny Sacco?
Yeah. So, but, you know, it was the first time I saw like a super robot cartoon in which like that had been remade.
Yeah.
It was really good. At least I really liked it. This was like back in like the late 90s, early 2000s. But yeah. I remember when we were watching stuff in Laserdisc. That was when the very beginnings of the internet, before they had the internet. Oh my god, they were already out of time. I went and downloaded the scripts off Bitnet, and these were poorly translated. But we would sort of get the gist of what was happening in the movie. And now, only finally now, I'm able to watch them. So it's because it's more accessible now.
Yep.
I remember when the Suncoast started having anime. The thing that kept its back was like it was so expensive to get a series. But now you can just watch stuff online and get like a Crunchyroll account or something, or pirate it, you know.
Didn't know what it was like back then trying to get into stuff.
It's like it was hard.
Yeah. You
know? So I started getting some figures from it. This one is the Akira Yamamoto from. It was like one of the pilots in it. I don't think she was in the original series.
No. There was Nova. That was like really the only female in the original Star Wars.
There's a whole bunch of them now.
So these are obviously and they've changed quite a bit since.
Yeah. In the anime they don't look like this. One thing I don't like about this particular figure line. These are good smile.
There's a very sexualization.
Yeah, going. So these are the Yamato Girls series.
Yeah.
And so the Nova in that one is like highly sexualized. Yeah, yeah. That character Melda Dietz, I don't think is in the original one.
No, either. None of these. But, Nova's the only one that is. This girl and then that girl isn't either.
But like she's like my favorite other pilot. These are both like fighter pilots, and she's like super cool. Huh. And she's like really put together and like knows what she's doing and competent. But she kind of warms to the human side. Like even though the one Base Battle Yamato is 2190 is great because they expand everything. They had to cut out of the first series, and it's an amazing retelling.
That's awesome.
You should just watch it and just not look at, just worry about this. Just look at the graphics, just to see. We'll do that sometime next time we do
it. We'll go through it.
But I guess that's the podcast. We didn't even get to talk about Star Wars. I had to wait for some other time.
Yeah, we'll have to do that in our next batch of stuff.
Yeah. All right.
Yay,
well,
toys.
I'm designer Dave Say.
I am photographer and toy collector Sid Caesar.
Yeah. That's been the podcast for today. Music provided by
Michael Bellar and the As Is Ensemble. Go
thank
visit
you,
him
Michael.
At Michael Bellar. Thank you as always. And have a good week, and we'll see you later. That's loud.
Yeah.
Have a good week. Yep. We will see everybody later.
All right. Hopefully you do more than three of these this year.
Yes. We will definitely do more than three of these this year.
All right. Gotcha.
We will.
We will.
We will.
Will we?
Yes.
Okay. Bye.